Fine. Start your day at 2:08. Rabbi Yoli Benedict.
Luke, I'm so sorry. Just got stuck in the traffic on Northumberland Street. I'm well into street traffic, so I apologise. I'd first say thank you to all the organisers, Nachum David, I'm also here, and the people behind the camera, behind the scenes, and all the people who come and join every day, starting their tear away. And as well, I guess it's clear for Koyla Dayunas to give me opportunity to sit and learn a little bit from a Balabos perspective to see what we know is a different thing from a Koyla Imam, but it's a good opportunity for me to sit and learn a little bit and see how to run a business in a normal way, in an elegant way. We'll start today. The topic today was Be'etzem, feelings in Choshe Mishpat. Be'etzem, it's an interesting topic, feelings in Choshe Mishpat. Be'etzem, the word is more Menschlichkeit in Choshe Mishpat rather than feelings. When you try and make a chilek between what's Menschlichkeit, as people call it, Mishabir Chaylik Zayin, and what's really Usa Mitzad Aluche, Mitzad Choshe Mishpat, and as well, what Be'etzem you can demand in Besden on Menschlichkeit Sachen that he should give it back to you, or things like that. And the main topic, the main notion that is Uni Amahapach Bechahura, which is a Gemara, all learned of him recently in Gemara in Kedishin of Nin Tess, which is basically a very broad subject, and it contains a lot of interesting notion, and it goes through as well in Masik Vilarai as well. We're not going to be able, won't be able to go through the whole thing, but we'll try a little bit, get the basics of Uni Amahapach Bechahura, which gives you a little bit of a picture of what Be'etzem is allowed, and what Be'etzem is Midas Chassidus, what's Menschlichkeit, and what's moral ethics, as they call it in English. I'm not sure what's called a Minigam Medina, because there's no official Minigam Medina how to behave. But we'll try to give a little bit of a picture of what Be'etzem goes into a get of a serious halachic problem, or what's just Menschlichkeit, which Be'etzem you shouldn't do, but it's just a little bit different. So I heard once from a good vote, he said, it goes in that, the same cloud goes in gezumping as well, and all this nosim where you're interfering in other people's business and you're trying to catch them out, trying to gain advantage in your own business or your own personal life by using someone else's hard work or just their knowledge and using it for your own purposes. Now, I heard from someone a very good word. He said that when people try to gain advantage in business, not only in business, in personal life as well, and you're living on yen and schach, when you're mostly trying to poach an employee from someone else, a top employee, or a client, or anything like that, what happens is you might gain advantage this point, and you might make a lot of money now, you might have a thing. But the fact what it says, what gives a picture for the person, for the people around them, is that you're not a loyal person, you're not a straightforward person. Some people call it shrewd, I wouldn't, you know. But it's something that people around you, family, your business associates, your workers, your employees, everyone sees you as a person who is not straightforward, who'll cut corners. What will happen is automatically, if you do that, then you'll be looking up behind your shoulders the whole time and someone else is doing it for you because your mindset works like that. So you're going to waste a lot of time of your business time looking out for other people not doing the same to you, and it's just going to be not worth it for you. And the same thing, if you have a good employer, they're working for you, and you're trying to keep him, and he'll see the way you treated other employers, other companies, so as soon as he gets an opportunity to jump ship to a different thing, he won't think twice to be loyal to you because he sees the way you deal with other people, so he'll do the same thing to you. And it's a very simple business concept that is not worth trying to use your trying to use on Yenem's Cheshm advantages of doing things that's not straightforward, because it'll always bite you better. The sale goes around, comes around, and it's a simple concept. And as well, your family, your kids, they grow up and see the person, the father, behaving like this in business, it gives them, you're wasting so much time on chinuch for your kids, and money, and effort, and therapy, whatever you do, and then you go for one click of a second, you just do something stupid, and you've ruined the whole time what you've done, all your hard work. And it's a shame, because we're all trying to build up our kids, to build up a solid family, and then eventually you try and get business. You're saying, you know, Meshpocha Asim Kingel, but business is business and family is family. But it's not true, because the way you run the business, the way you run your Mahalach HaChaim gives a reflection for everyone around you and for your family. So maybe it's not worth it, it's a business concept. But we'll go through a little bit, but Etzem, what is the Halukha of Oni Mahalach B'chavu? So the Gemara is in Kedishin Daf Nin Tes. And the Gemara is a famous story of Rav Gidl. And Rav Gidl, Hava Mahapach Bahiyah. I'm going to give a Gemara inside. Rav Gidl, Hava Mahapach Bahiyah. Rav Gidl was trying, we'll see soon what Mahapach means. Rav Gidl was trying to buy a property, a house or land, a piece of land. And he was dealing with it. Uzl Rav Abba, Zavma, Rav Abba came and he bought it. Rav Abba obviously didn't realize Rav Gidl was involved in this deal. He just went, he didn't know anything about it, and obviously the seller didn't tell him anything about it. He went and bought it. Uzzah Rav Gidl came. Now, Rav Abba was much bigger person than Rav Gidl, obviously your mom could be, and Rav Abba was already in Rebbe there. So he couldn't go direct to him, so he went to Rav Zeira, to his Rebbe, and Rav Zeira went to Rav Yitzchak Nafka, which is his Rebbe. Uzzah Rav Zeira became Yitzchak Nafka, so he told him, listen, he's going to come to me soon by one of the big rushes. And when he comes here, I'll sit down and I'll have a chat with him. Until he'll come up to me for Yom Tov. Kisulik, when he came up, Ashkecha, you found him. So he told him, what happens if only a poor person is dealing with a property, trying to buy a property, and someone else comes and tries to take it away from him? What's the halukha? So that's Rav Yitzchak Nafka asked Rav Abba in a nice way. So he told him, of course, Nikir Rusha. It's called a Rusha. We'll see soon what a Rusha means. We've seen other places the Torah calls a person a Rusha by Dushan Avira. But let's go, we'll have a minute. One minute. The Elu. So the Elu, my time over the. So Daniel confronted him and said, oh, so you agree that that's wrong. So why have you done so? Why have you done it? Oh, my Lord, have you done it? Chas v'shalom, I didn't know anything about it. Had I known, I would have never done it. I was saying, oh, good idea. So he didn't know. Rav Gidl is here around. Give him the property. Sell him the property. And no problem. Omalei, hashanam, and that's what I give it to him. Omalei, zivina lo mezam nilo. Pavos ta'arik ha-maisi, v'lo mezam ha-milsa. Iboye, b'matun ha-nishle. Basically, he told him, I can't sell it because it's my first property I ever bought. And it's just you get the simon if you try to sell your first property. M'mayle, I can't sell it to him, but if he wants, with pleasure, I'll give it to him. Now, Rav Gidl, didn't want to take it, Fabos. He didn't want to take it free person from Abba. Rav Abba didn't want to step into that property, use that property, Fabos, because he felt it's not right, it didn't come to him in the right way. So what happened? Rav Gidl, now, no one decided to go step into that building, that property. And what happens, it becomes Arad Rabbanon. So, unfortunately, how did it become Arad Rabbanon? Oh, because it was a no man's land, no one to use it, automatically became Arad Rabbanon. Or they both decided between them that this is the right thing to do. At least the yeshiva people should be able to use it and gain advantage of a property, and no one can do anything with it. So, point out a few things. The first thing is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So, Rashi says inside, Rashi says that the Gemara is talking about even in the case of Hefke. Basically, you find a Metzia, something that it's free, or something that's Hefke, and you're about to get it, you're working on it, you're trying to, let's say the council is giving away a property free for, let's say, a Moisiv, anything like that, and you're making all your efforts, all the paperwork and everything, try to get it. Another Moisiv comes within seconds and they have a quick system and they try to get it. This would be Rashi also, because this is part of your poaching someone else's property, someone else's item, and is loved after bakaka, even with metalfilin, or anything like that, and a person has seen something, they say, try to get it, and he's going to try take it away. No, the Rashi is the son. So both took it at the same time, but they both got the same equal rights over it. But here we're talking about if someone was making the effort to get it, and the other person saw the other person doing the effort, but even didn't see, he didn't know anything about it, and he jumped in quickly. Tosfos, this is used in Russia, Tosfos argues in Russia, Tosfos says in the case of a Metzia and a Hefker doesn't exist the problem of an Elapa Havala. The only situation when the problem would be is in the case of a Mekach and Memkah, or Schiris, someone trying to rent a property, or someone trying to buy a property, and the person's put the effort, not even money effort, not even anything money in, just the effort of making information and trying to get a property, someone else jumps in, then there is a issa of Unimat Havud. This explains why. Because the person who's dealing with a property, person number eight, person number one is dealing with a property, will tell this person number two, why do you have to come into this property? Go find yourself another property. You don't have to get the property I'm looking for, I'm trying to rent. Go find yourself something else completely. And Myla, because of that, Tosfos says you've got to find him. Masha ain't came by Metzia and Hefka. The person turns around, what do you mean? I can't find something else like this. This is a beautiful, this is a perfect Metzia, Hefka, breathing. I can't find anywhere else. So you can't tell me why am I more important, why are you more important than me? Because you were first? First means if you got it to you, be ready, yours, that's one thing. But first in line doesn't mean anything in a case of a Metzia and Hefka, if he closes. No matter if he closes any case of Metzia and Hefka, there'll be no problem with him. A similar thing, even in buying a property or renting, if it's a very, very good deal, the mushal is a very cheap offer, or there is nothing like that available, or the mushal, this house is perfect right next to his shrega, if he does want to live there, or anything like that, then for him, this is a Metzia. Mamela Levi Tosfos will see soon, there is no problem of only a matter of Heru. Now before we carry on, let's give two, three examples. We'll start up with a story, and then we'll see, we'll go back into Halacha, we'll see the Shchunuch, how we pass and how we can compare it, how we can take out to our stories.
So look, really
we'll see soon what Mahapach means. How far into the deal you have to be in order for you to be called Mahapach. We'll get to that soon. So the story number one is, a person is looking at a property to rent. He's looking for a house to rent, finally he finds a nice four-bedroom house in the area, and he goes there and sees the house, everything makes sense, he gets a viewing, he looks around, everything makes sense, there's a few little things that is niggling him that doesn't really think, but everything else makes sense. So he tells the landlord, give me a day or two, I will discuss it with my wife. It wasn't on the market, it was a private deal. I will discuss it with my wife and I'll get back to you. In the meantime, he phones his friend, good friend obviously, of course, and he goes through with him the malice of his throne, there's the good benefits and the disadvantage of the property, and he goes through everything with him and he's not sure yet what should he do, and the person, doesn't really give him any good advice. It's good listening, yeah, that's it. Gets his speech to his wife the next day and they agree they'll go for this property. Phones up the landlord the next day, says, yes, you're happy to go for this property. Well, I'm so sorry, this property has been taken, it's rented already. He says, what do you mean? How is that? At the end, someone phoned me up and inquired about a property, and he's agreed straight away. Can I please know the name? A person asked. Do you mind if I ask the name? Sure. This is this and this person. He realized this is perfect friend that he just discussed yesterday with the property. He phones up, picks up a phone to him. Huh?
There's an al-Qaeda about that one.
There's a lot of things about that one, but yeah. So he picks up the phone to that person and says, how come, what have you done? Well, you said you're not sure. You said you weren't convinced about it. You said, this is the problem. Well, I was talking to you about it. I was discussing it with it. Well, there's nothing I can do already in terms and conditions. So now the question is, mitzad choshe mishpat. Mitzad mensh, yizikha not a mensh, I wouldn't be mishadach with him and I'd be shiki. But mitzad choshe mishpat, is there any issa, mitzad halucha, about the person taking away this property from him? Not by mentioning, that's one shayla. Second shayla is, you're driving in Borough Park. I don't know if anyone's been in Borough Park recently. The parking situations there is absolutely terrible. You can drive around the block for half an hour, and so if you've got a meeting or if you've got a job interview, anything, then you better leave an hour before and try to find a parking spot. So this guy, let's call him Yankel. Yankel decided he's got an interview in the morning, and he drives around the block, find a parking spot. And after half an hour, finally, he finds himself a parking spot on 13th Avenue between 14th and 13th, and he's about to drive in. He parks up right next to the other guy's mirror, mirror to mirror. He's about to drive in when suddenly a small little mini drives in. Young fellow comes in, jumps in, and he parks in there, and he jumps out and runs to the person, says, "Sorry, I've got a meeting today, I need to catch." Apologize, and he runs away. Now, what? Oh, so is this considered unyamapakha? Is this a problem poaching someone else's deal? Is it a mitzvah choshimichot? As you said, mitzvah nashmechait lechayra zichanish. Could be, you never know. This guy might have a job interview. He's going might lose his job. The other guy's just having he wants to buy a bagel. So, who's more important here in a way? The second guy is desperate for a job interview and he hasn't had a job for 2 years. And his whole family is suffering. The first guy's trying to find a parking spot. All he needs is a pizza and his coffee. So who's more important? Mitzad Meshlechait? I'm not sure. Mitzad Choshim Shpot. Let's see if there's any time. Let's take it a stage further. In New York, where it's very cold and very snowy, a guy's trying to find a parking spot. Finally finds a parking spot, but it's full of snow. So he goes out, puts his warm coat on, takes a shovel out, and starts shoveling up everywhere. And finally he's ready to the spot is clean, and he sits himself in the car ready to drive in when a small car just drives in and he parks there. Has he got a tiny more than the first one? Is it the same situation or not? So let's think through a little bit. Let's see now, look at what we're passing. Talking about parking, it's been said that the vote has been said that Henry Schimmel, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a good vote. He was trying in Goldstream, trying to find the parking spot. Finally he finds the parking spot and he's about to drive in his big hefty Rolls Royce. He's driving to park in when suddenly a small little car, sporty car, young guy comes in and drives in, nips in. And a guy walks out, walks to Harry Schimmel's window, knocks on the window, and said, "That's what you do when you're young and quick." Harry Schimmel puts his car in reverse, starts backing into Yannick's car, smashes in the car all the way to the side, parks there, walks out to this guy, the guy screaming away, said, "That's what you do at Alden Ridge." So I'm not sure it was always worth it to take the parking spot, but it's definitely good idea to teach people a lesson. I don't know if it's for Kasi, but afterwards. But so let's see in Halacha. In Simon Reish Gimel. In Halacha of Unim Ha'achbara, we're not going to do the whole thing, we've got enough time for everything. We'll just get the basics. A little bit of the Mechaba Paskut. So the Mechaba Paskut, we're not going to do the whole thing. Mechaba Paskut, in the case of Unim Mechaba Pacharor, there's a Mechlekes Rashi thesis. Mechaba brings down both shittas, and the Mechaba says that we pass through, Mechaba brings down both shittas. The first shittas is Rashi, that in a case of any type of case of Saya Metzir, Saya Mekach HaMemke, there'll be Issa Olim HaPachahor. And then it brings down Tosef Shitta, that there is only Issa of Olim HaPachahor in the case of Mekach HaMemke, but not Metzir. And most Paskim, Paskim like Tosef. And as a Mashma of the Mechaba from the Remu Ochet, is Mashma that the Mechaba Paskim is like Tosef. There's the only Issa of Unim HaPacharur in a case of Metziah. A case of Mekach HaMemke, not a Metziah. The question is, what is Unim HaPacharur? So let's go through first the stages of, is it Dafka Uni or Afela Oisha? And is it what's Mahapach called? Now, the Remo says that the point of Uni is means to say in a case where there's a remam, meaning to say, in a case of mekhamemke, when a person is a poor person, he can't afford another property similar to that somewhere else, or more, damage is a problem. But if a case is an osha, in the case of a mekhamemke, there is no issa when he's because he can go and spend a bit more trying to find for the poor, for the remam, it's much harder to go find a property than for a poor person. For or a rich person, but mekach memke lefi tosis lefi the ships that machabas igdiremo, there is no issa by a rich person that the other person. Sorry, the first person is a rich person trying to find a property. There is no issa of a second person coming to that, take away this property. Now, what's mahapach? Mahapach means the machabah means to say when you both agreed. Sorry, the remo brings down when you both agreed a price. Now, what does that mean? Agreeing a price. So when you have a sale, normally, is you inquire, you look at the property, you look at the rent, whatever it is, and you go through all the details, and then you agree a price of, let's say, £100,000 in property, or £1,200 per month for rental, anything similar to that. Now, when you agree the price, what happens now? The next stage is to sign it, to make a contract and go through all the details. Now, what does a mahapapa mean? When someone goes through and agrees the price, someone gives a price, that's already basically decided that the first person is getting it. And if you jump in at that point, then there is an issa of William Hapapahel. Now, when in the case that Isha brings down... But then, yeah, of course. Once you make a Kenyan, there is no William Hapapahel, it's a proper Gneva, Zayda. The Shaila is, or in the case of just a verbal agreement, not even a handshake. Because a handshake could mean a Mechisir Amunna. But we'll get to that. At case level handshake, correct. That's not a deal because someone is back south, he doesn't pay him anything, it's just basically a chesed amunah.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, dinner is a different thing.
Pardon?
Yeah. I understand.
Correct.
But the point is, just because someone has verbally agreed, does not mean say they can back out the next day.
Correct.
Which means that the landlord is stuck.
Correct. So, in a case,
rather have someone paying him real money.
100%. But the fact is, what the verbal agreement means to say is, as the I think the Mishpat Shulam is mentioned, that it means to say, when someone backs out, then is lack of trust. It's called mechisra amunah koshim mishpat. If someone does something, he agrees a deal with the other, and he backs out, this is called lack of trust mechisra amunah. He doesn't have to pay anything. He can not demand any money. In a case like this. This is called Umar al-Hapahavur. There's loads of shittas in a different way how we get it. The Risha brings down that you stand on the market and assuming you're haggling with the customer and you finally agree to a price, or even not agree to a price, you're about to agree a price, and you had the third person not come in here, the second person not come in here, your deal would have gone through, that is already called Umar al-Hapahavur, even though they agreed a price. That's the Risha time. Before we carry on, the Shekhinu Rav says that even though most passing like the Mechaba, that you're not allowed to poach someone else's deal only by mekach memah metzia, you okay? Even by that, Bal Nefesh should be machmon himself, not to jump into yenemus, even a metzia as well. Now, we'll go to the quick cases. What does it mean to our cases? Now, what first thing we forgot to say is, do you have to give back the deal? So let's say you did a beshogim, you didn't realize that you took someone else's property rent, property away from his rental. Do you have to give back the money or not? So here's a machlokes haposkim, whether you have to give back the money or not. Rabbeinu Tam says that you have to give back the money. The Ritva brings Rabbeinu Tam and says you have to give back the money or the deal, whatever you took, even though it is the shogun. But most possibly the Ritva himself says that you don't have to give back the deal, and it brings the wrath of Ma'al Gemara. Because that other didn't give back the property to Rav Gidl. He only wanted to give him away the present. He didn't sell it back to him. If the halacha would have been he has to sell it back to him, then he would have to sell it to him. Doesn't matter if you don't like him because of the first property is not a gift to Simon, but you have to give it back. So, we have the Mechaba, we have the Remo. Pardon? Yes, he didn't want to sell it back. He wanted to give it away a present. He only wanted to give away the present. And Rav Gidl wouldn't take it back a present. So, if the halacha would have been that you have to sell it to the first customer, and Rav Gidl would have bought it back of Rav Abba, in a case like this, Rav Abba would have had to pay it back, had to sell it to him. But because he didn't sell him, it was a raya from Al-Gumara that you don't have to give back the money in a case like this. But Mitzad Adin, You don't have to give back the money, especially in the case of a shogeg, because a shogeg would only pass in that lactosis anyway. In a case, most times in our era, a metziah, because properties is not something you can find every single day, especially rental. A male who passed in lactosis, by a metziah, there's no problem about chora. When they did the sum of a mistake, you don't have to give back mitzad adin. Of a mensch of kaita, mitzad medes chasidus is definitely that you give it back to the person, and you're definitely not going to lose out. Now, regarding our kapa, so let's look at the three stories. The first story about the rental, because there was no pisik, there was no agreement in price yet between the tenant and the landlord, the friend of his jumped in, mitzad choshem mishpat, there's no problem. Mitzad alocha, he cannot demand the property back from him, and he cannot demand any money of him, but what we can say is no mensch, and that's something he'll have to deal with the rest of that. Now, the end of that story happened to be is, that after a couple of months he found there was a lot of dump and the property was not livable. And even when each person tried to invest all the money, landlord tried to change everything, and it still didn't work, and eventually he had to move out after a couple of months anyway, the second person. But it doesn't always work out well. Sometimes it works out good as well, but doesn't mean that's wrong. Now regarding the car park, regarding the spot of the first guy that trying to find the parking spot in New York after half an hour, the other guy nipped in, with some question, but there was no agreement of any price. There was no mahapak there. He was basically waiting there looking around. So the person jumping in there didn't do any isa mitzad choshim mishpat. Mitzad menshlechayt, he wasn't a mensh. Of a mitzad choshim mishpat, there was no isa. Now regarding the problem of the snow chaylit, tzedek is another halacha. Here is the mechaber in Simeray Shayin Gimel. We'll quickly say that the mechaber says, only hamanakev berosh hazayis. And a person, there's a poor person trying to climb up above an olive tree. And he jumps on top, takes a stick and starts banging on the olives to drop them down, and eventually he's going to come there and collect them all. And while he's trying to climb down the tree, another person comes and puts it all in the bag and walks off. Zug de mechaba, there's a problem of gezel medivrei, chavos, also similar to unia mahapach mechavur, because the other guy has done a lot of tircha. Zug de pos, from the fidat, in the case of the parking spot where he's worked hard to shovel away the snow in order for him to find the parking spot, there'll be an issa of the zela for him, the second person jumping in there and taking the parking spot. However much he needs a desperate, he'll have to give back the parking spot, and he can even take a bezin and force him to take back this parking spot. I don't know how long it'll take if it's Metzias de Gabonish, but that's what you have to do. There's a lot of scenarios where people don't realize what goes into Menschlichkeit. The mushal jumping queues as well could be a person waiting in a queue, and you're rushing, and the other person is also rushing and jumping in the queue. There's no tirecha, there's no pissing, the chorer, mitzad kosh mishpat, the problem, mitzad menshlechayt, yes? But if someone did lamushal, one thing we find, one example we do see that it's mitter is in the case of a melamed. If a cheder is desperate for a gitta melamed, and they see another moshe that's got a very good melamed, mitzad alochel and mechav brings down, they allow to poach him away, even offer him more money, because of the gain advantage for Talmud Torah and things like that, you're allowed to poach away a melamed. But then the poskim already go through whether it's in every case like this, all things like that. Only the poskim say by a zayfal, even a private person is allowed to take away a rebbe from someone else. In all those cases, you're allowed to do that. But everything depends, every situation you have to ask. And of course, Rav Shalom from the Rebbe Moshe, be able to do business well, and I'll be telling you, and if you do the right way, you'll see a lot of success, and I'll slukha, and siyata b'shmaya. Thank you very much.